Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. 23 after the hour. Thank you very much for staying with me. My pleasure, as always, to continue to be with you. I'm Jim Blasingame. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Check it out when you get a chance. Lots of stuff that will help you with your small business. It's Labor Day. We're broadcasting live on Labor Day, having a great visit with our good friend Ken Davis. Kenneth C. Davis, one of the resident historians in our brain trust, but he makes his living writing outstanding books on history, including A Nation Rising, including the new edition of Don't Know Much About History, just now out in paperback with the updated, last 10 years updated. Also, all of the children's books. Ken, I love telling the audience because I went out and found, and somehow, I don't remember exactly how I got them. You sent them to me, or I bought them. I don't remember what, but I got some of your books from my grandsons, and I'm really happy about that. Folks, if you got kids or grandkids, don't miss Ken's books on history for the children. Ken, thanks again for that. What about your own website, please?
Don'tknowmuch.com is the website, and it's purely an informational website. I don't sell stuff. I haven't figured out how to monetize myself, as they say these days, and so I won't monetize you if you come to the website. I'll just point you to some of my books and some interesting stuff that I write or see in the news that relate to history and the headlines. And in fact, today I have a link up to a piece I have on CNN.com about the history of Labor Day. It's called The Blood and Sweat Behind Labor Day, so you can read that at CNN.com today.
So, folks, if you're looking for a site where you won't be monetized, check out Ken's site. You'll find it there. Hey, Ken, we talked about the origins of Labor Day earlier, and today Labor Day is for everybody, right? Except you and me. We're working. We're business owners, and we're working today. But Labor Day is really not is for a long time, for generations, Labor Day hasn't just been about unions, about the labor movement. It's been about it's for everybody. But and I think that's a good thing. But there's another thing that you talk about in your coverage, and that's the origins of minimum wage. And one of the things that minimum wage, in my opinion, and Labor Day have in common is neither one of them were created for the altruistic, you know, devotion to labor. They were both created for political reasons, as you described Labor Day earlier.
As most of the so much legislation in our history has been, Jim, we understand that. No, Franklin D. Roosevelt, I think, understood the power of the growing labor movement in the 1930s and certainly was trying to respond to that. But I do think that there was certainly, if not complete on his part, and he was, you know, he was the most aristocratic of men, the most patrician of our presidents, mm-hmm. in many ways, but he did have a common touch. He did have a feel for the common man. Part of it came through Eleanor. Part of it came from people he surrounded himself like Frances Perkins, his labor secretary, the first woman in the cabinet. She was a woman who had worked in New York City's growing labor movement, also a wealthy woman. She saw the Triangle Shirtwaist Fire Factory 100 years ago,
right.
More than 140 young women die in a fire. They had been chained into the factory so that they couldn't leave their
And those were good reasons to improve working conditions.
But minimum wage,
Ken, was created so that the Southern textile companies wouldn't steal jobs from the Massachusetts textile companies.
That's always been part of the deal, that it's, you know, one region against another. And in the last 30, 40 years, we've seen, you know, something else, which is the globalization factor. That's
right.
Why workers in America have never been under more pressure than they are today in an economic sense. Certainly,
yep.
In the 19th century, they were under worse pressure because they were struggling for their actual lives and survival. But globalization, the changes in technology in the workplace, the outsourcing of jobs, the global recession, you know, you can go down the list, but there's also this very, very virulent anti-union rhetoric, and I don't think it's helpful. I quote Abraham Lincoln in my piece today. Back in 1861, in the worst days of the Civil War, he says, labor is before capital. Labor produces capital, and he said labor should have the highest consideration. There are political issues involved, but I think the disrespect and the contempt for a lot of workers and union workers today is something that we need to
avoid. But Ken, labor is defined so much more broadly today than it was back in the day. And I think union workers are only 7% of the private sector workforce today.
That's right. It's 12% overall, but most of those are public employees.
Right. And so,
especially the teachers.
Exactly. And so, it's a much smaller group. And so when you talk about labor today, you got to talk about more people are not union. So labor is not just union workers. I mean, that's the thing. And technology...
And it never has. Even at its peak, Jim, it was only 30%.
35%,
even at the height of the union power in the 60s and early 70s, the heyday of the UAW, the mine workers, the steel workers, those unions are all gutted nowadays,
right,
obviously, because of the changes in American labor.
And again,
I'd say that part of it was their own success, part of it was their mistakes, corruption,
right,
feather bedding, all of those things, we understand that. But do they serve a purpose today still? There are certainly worker groups, groups of workers that are not treated with the respect and the decency that Henry Ford thought if he gave his workers, things would work out better.
29 after. Going to take a quick break. Ken Davis is our guest. Ken C. Davis and is our great friend and the author of so many books on history. Please check those out, folks, wherever books are sold. Thanks, Ken, for being here on Labor Day. We'll see you next time. Quick break. Stay with me. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.